You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Oh, look at that. I knew something about a punk band.
Just some old fat drunk dudes jumping up and down.
This tree just planted itself right on top of the cement.
I did watch a YouTube video today.
My dad mashed potatoed
of
Enema
Chris Carrava.
Aaron doesn't know who Chris Carrava is. It's so good. That's great.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Punk Tree.
Hey,
this is
up?
Mike.
Yeah,
hey guys. Hi Aaron.
Hi Michael. How
hey,
are
Jesse?
You?
I'm good.
Yes.
I'm good. I'm enjoying a good beer. We'll talk about it in a second. Jesse's packing some herb and whatever that is.
It's so a rolling
sponsors.
Sack.
We'll get to it.
As soon as you hit go, it was rolling. I couldn't stop laughing because we were already talking about getting this tea ready, and it feels like we're prepping drugs.
It does.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess that's part of the fun.
It is. All right, so before we get into whatever this stuff is on the table that we're doing.
I've got to go get the water.
And everything else. Let's kick it off with what we've been taking in, listening to lately. Aaron, what have you been playing?
I wasn't expecting this one. I'm totally unprepared. That's not true. We do this every episode, don't we?
We do. It's true. Kind of like one of the only givens.
Mm-hmm.
Well, while Aaron's trying to go through his Rolodex of music in his brain, Jesse.
No, I've got it.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. I said this last time, but it's the same. I've been listening to a lot of Wilhelm Scream. They have now released 3 songs from their upcoming album, which is coming up in April. And they are amazing, in my opinion, and I think in everyone else's opinion in the world. I've polled
at many
people.
At least everyone.
Yeah, at least everyone. but it's good. Something very interesting is in one of their songs, Apocalypse Porn, they actually get into political stuff, which they're one of the bands that, like, almost all their songs are very on a personal level,
yeah,
or like within their circle. They don't talk about a lot of systemic or political things, but they do in this song, and I think they nail it. Something interesting that I was reading through the comments on the YouTube video for it, and some jabroni.
Okay.
Left a comment that said, this is like if Ben Shapiro did a parody of a Rise Against song, which is wrong on so many levels, because nothing in that song lyrically is anything that Ben Shapiro would ever say. They talk about, like, protecting weaponized teens, obviously, the Kyle Rittenhouse thing, which I'm pretty sure Ben Shapiro supports that guy.
I would bet.
And a Wilhelm Scream might share some similarities to Rise Against to the uninformed listener.
And their font choices.
Their font choices.
Uh-huh. There's some.
I'll give it to you. But they're very different bands.
Does it frustrate you that Jesse and I haven't really responded to your beckoning that we give them a shot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Especially the song Figure Eights in My Head, because I thought you guys would both like that one a lot.
All right. Well, we'll drop it right here. Blazing the trail out to Talleyrand. Hop the fence with the razor wire. Sped off the Sassaquin pits. Nikki don't care no better. I wanna feel that way again, so let's go down to the river at night. Go down to the river. Are you ready? I'm ready. Are you ready? I'm ready. Climb the tower to the top. Smash the glass globes. Laughed as they dropped. What about you, Jesse? What have you been listening to?
Oh, I thought we were going to actually listen to the song right now. Then we could talk about it, since Aaron wants us to listen to it so badly. Then instead of coming back and being like, oh, Jesse's been listening to Further Seems Forever, it would be like, oh, we finally listened to that song that Aaron asked us to listen to.
Wait, Further Seems right Forever before or after Chris Caraba left?
Which time? Because he came good back. Question.
And it is...
No, the well, last time now. The last time they performed, it was with Jason Gleason again.
Okay, so Jesse, what have you been listening to?
Further Seems Forever, something that's hitting a playlist pretty often, but Adele.
Oh God, I hate you.
Adele, for sure, has been...
Adele what?
Reese.
Ah, nice. Well done. It was quick. That was impressively quick. Okay, so you listen to Adele, and you listen to Further Seems Forever. Are you listening to, like, The Moon Is Down because of the 20th anniversary stuff?
Call me crazy. Yes, I listen to The Moon Is Down, and I love it.
I was getting ready to call you crazy because I think I know what you're going to say.
Further Seems Forever has put out 4 studio albums.
Uh-huh.
And The Moon Is Down is my least favorite of the 4.
Okay, that's different than saying it's the worst.
Right. Right, I still like it. I think it's fantastic. It's groundbreaking. It's wonderful. I love it.
It's groundbreaking in what way?
It was a big part of what made emo start to go.
Okay. Is it that you don't like Chris Caraba?
I like Chris Caraba.
Less than Gleason or Bunch?
Yeah, both.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough. Me too.
I like Jason Gleason the most. And John Bunch, and I like Chris Caraba, but third most of those 3 singers.
Fair enough. That works. That would mean you love me. That would mean you care. If black my heart when locked alone till cold and killing stares. This is a burning. Oh, I'm a dream.
So, Mike has been listening to Adele as well. Go on about Adele, Mike.
I'm the farmer. I've actually been listening to, just specifically the last couple of days, I've been listening to a lot of a band that I have never really given a full listen to, even though one of you has urged me to a lot, and that is...
I'm on the edge of my seat now.
Knuckle Puck. I've been listening to a bunch of Knuckle Puck.
And why is that, Mike?
Well, I think we're going to see Knuckle Puck.
Yes, that's the plan.
That was the plan up until like 30 minutes ago.
Well, the drummer broke his hand and the lineup's changing. But anyway.
We'll go.
In anticipation, yes. And it's not that I haven't heard Knuckle Puck before. I've listened to a few albums. It's just I haven't intently tried to decide, like, how do I feel about this? And I have done that now, and I... still don't know how I feel.
Okay.
It's like that. Right after my time, pop punk emo thing, sort of like major vibes, to sound young and cool.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
major vibes of Starting Line and Jimmy Eat World a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And like Saves the Day a little in the whininess and even some of the topics and themes. And obviously, like, a band where the guys grew up liking Blink-182. Like, you could just tell with, like, the layered pull-off, hammer-on pull-off stuff.
Oh, yeah.
There's a affinity there. But overall, it's fun. It's super fun music.
Yeah.
I haven't caught on to any, like, super serious songs that tickle the lyric, you know, thing that I like yet. But, you know, it's jump around music.
I thought you would appreciate their guitar tone for, like, what they're trying to do. Their rhythm and lead guitar tones, as well as just, like, layers they put in stuff, is... They seem really meticulous with their guitar tone.
It's very grown up.
Yes.
Right? Like, it's
for
very,
young for young guys. They're pretty young.
It's a very grown up pop punk compressed guitar thing, right? It sounds expensive. Like, I don't know what kind of amps they play through, but you know, yeah. Afraid to call and see what's good.
Well, I was just making a face at this sip of beer I was having right in the middle of all of that, but I was really enjoying it. It's a beer that's called Citro Loves Nelson, and it's by Brewery X, which is like up in Orange County, I think. Yeah, Anaheim. Anyways, I'd never heard of it before, but my mom bought it for me. My mom likes to just find something she thinks I've never had, and here, try this. So she bought it. And then she, like, sent me a picture. She's like, oh, hey, I got this for you. You should check it out. And so I texted her back, and I was like, whoa, did you look at the label? And she was like, oh, no, I didn't even notice. I was just glad to find something you haven't tried before. I was like, look at the label. It's literally The Giving Tree by Shel Silverstein with the boy, although the boy is shaped like a hop, and then there's the tree, and it's got hops coming out of the tree, and... Instead of me and T on the carving on the tree, it's Citra and Nelson. And the font is the same font as
the
book.
We're just going to keep bringing up fonts on this episode.
And it's Anyways, this has literally been my favorite book since I was a little kid. Well, maybe not super little, but a kid. And I'm in like an elementary school teacher
does
now.
It help
so
you?
Like children's literature is still an important thing to me.
Does it help you even more dislike Dr. Seuss? Like, does it make you just feel like, yeah, Shel Silverstein's my dog, screw Dr. Seuss?
Comparatively, yeah, sure. I'm the guy in elementary school that doesn't like Dr. Seuss. Everyone does. Everyone loves him. Everyone loves Dr. Seuss. He's so fun and great. I just think he's overrated.
We want to hear from a listener. And now that we know we have dozens, which is fun, we want to hear from a listener who also does not like Dr. Seuss. I want a challenge for someone to contact us. Hit us up on social media or anywhere. Jesse, can I just give him your cell phone number?
No. Okay. No, we just got...
Jesse's cell phone number
is...
But
I want someone else who's a Seuss hater.
No, I don't think that he's the worst or anything. I just think he's overrated. He gets a lot of credit and
attention.
Was
the racism stuff bad? Like, what's good, or is it simply understood that there's a reason you don't want me around? You play a shame, it's okay, but I don't buy the lingerie. When it gets a secret, you don't want me around. Afraid to cleanse, what's good, or is it simply understood? There's a reason you don't want me around. You play a shame.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. All right. I've got a drink. I haven't even tried it yet. We're going to...
All right.
Open it just like that. Okay. So I've got... I've never had this beer.
I have.
Yeah, I've had that.
You've both had it. Mm-hmm. I haven't had it. It's Dub Space.
It's a collab from... I think it's Modern Times in Ninkasi.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can see the end.
Yeah. Right, Modern now. Times and Ninkasi. It's a... Some kind of IPA.
It's a double IPA. Double, yeah.
So here we go. This is the first drink.
Yeah,
we'll
go for
the
it.
Reaction.
I want to hear what you think, and then I have a pretty specific memory from when I tried it. Yeah, whoa was what I thought when I had it too.
It's not clean at all.
Mm-mm.
It has a little too much malt, and they could have probably probably could have lowered the grain bill, or fermented a little more sugar out of this,
and
dried it out a little bit more. It's a very, very wet
and dense,
wet, hazy IPA, and just too malty. Like, it didn't quite.
Yeah.
It left some there.
But the malt doesn't necessarily overpower the hoppiness of it. I remember. No, I remember it just being very robust all around. Like, whoa!
And this beer is vegan.
Oh, right here. Good, 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 good.
It says it there. So.
Is it a vegan? Is that a vegan character?
Aaron, what are you drinking over
there? No, I want to go back to the vegan beer thing, because it's something that's always perplexed me, because vegans don't eat like things that we're living, and yeast is a very important ingredient in beer and wine, and yeast is a living thing. So, like, at what size of animal do they think
are you trying to talk about abortion right now?
No, not at all.
Okay.
I mean, go for it. If you want to
kill Dr. your fetus, go for it. And abortion in one episode?
No, I'm just curious. Like, well, you're a scientist. Where do you draw the line, vegans?
You're a scientist.
Yeah.
Are yeast alive?
Yes.
Do they have feelings?
That I don't know. I don't know if anyone knows.
All call to our listeners. We need a scientist. I guess a real scientist.
Does yeast have feelings?
So do we need a scientist or a psychologist? We're talking about feelings.
All right. You know, we need our friend. We need our friend Mary from Virginia. If you're listening, we're going to need a call in. We are going to need some help understanding this. Do yeast have feelings? I mean, is like a yeast infection like an aggressive move?
Aggressive mood.
It's like angry or lonely yeast.
I mean, yeast can be dormant.
Yeah.
Depressed, perhaps.
I don't think that's what it is.
Dormant state.
All right. Well, everybody at this table has our table. You can't see us, but it looks ridiculous.
It's full of glasses and cans. It's very full.
We'll post a picture.
Measuring spoons.
We'll put a picture up on the Instagram or something. Here, I'm taking a picture right now of this craziness. We have lots of things on our table, including more drinks than usual,
mm-hmm.
because we do have one special thing. Happening tonight. We're recording in the evening, and that is we are celebrating, really toasting,
yes.
toast to our newest sponsor.
That's right,
Jesse?
Yeah. Yes. It is TS the Tea. Do you guys drink a lot of tea, like in general?
I drink tea at least monthly, probably every couple of weeks.
Okay.
Some kind of tea.
I'd say I'm about the same.
I'm a little more often than that. I drink tea at least once a week. I probably average between one and two times a week.
Right. I will say my tea consumption has been rising a little bit.
Because it's cold.
It's cold. And because we do have this new partnership with Tiesta Tea. And I am used to tea being like the little packets
that
have been in a box for years.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know.
Have you never done loose leaf tea?
I haven't done loose leaf tea.
Oh my goodness.
You know what? I have once when I was in China at an actual tea house, mm-hmm. which is like this crazy, extraordinary thing.
But those are more like brothels, aren't they?
No. They're places where you get that tea and you try it, and then maybe you try this other one.
In China, everything that wasn't a restaurant was a brothel.
So Tiesta has been something super new because, you know, they're our friends, and they sent us a bunch of different like teas to try, and it's a totally different experience. Even our glasses, we're holding up mugs, and they're clear, and all of them look totally different in color.
Yeah.
Like, actually pretty beautiful. And these mugs are also pretty beautiful.
They're hand-painted mugs from a local artist. But, I already drink a decent amount of tea. I'm not British or anything.
Oh, yeah, thank goodness.
But live loose.
Jesse, it sounds like you think you know tea. But you haven't tried Tiesta tea.
Hey, live loose.
Once you go loose, you will never teabag.
You'll never go bagged.
Well, I am enjoying my tea, and I we have three different ones. We should maybe just like what are say what we are. I didn't know this is what this was called, but I'm drinking the nutty almond cream, and the amazing thing, it's a cinnamon almond herbal tea. Is it really tastes exactly like that? It tastes like I'm like drinking like the inside of a almond joy.
Oh wow! Ooh.
Yeah, it's very good. That's like, very good.
I've got what's it? What's the little word on the side of it?
Relaxer.
Relaxer.
Nice. Oh. Yeah.
Well, it's not late enough. You don't want to relax it. You want to stay alert for speaking into a microphone.
Totally.
Well, I've got this one. It's called Blueberry Wild Child. It's also an herbal tea. And its little word is eternity. And I don't fully grasp that connection, but it
no
tastes,
one really understands
it. It tastes great.
It is very good.
It's robust and full of eternity. It's good. I am enjoying it a lot.
I got a lavender chamomile because that just seemed like it suited my personality. It's a soft chamomile herbal tea, very relaxing, and I'm a very soft, relaxed kind of guy.
Yeah, you gotta be careful when you're traveling with this tea.
Mm.
Like, if you're crossing borders and stuff, and this stuff is in your bag.
My one critique is, this is definitely the same kind of packaging and the same font and look that you might find an eighth of marijuana packaged in.
Even the names, I mean, Relaxer, Eternity.
And the color coding, like this is a hybrid or this is a steel.
However, like, that packaging isn't, I know that it's kind of what your mind goes to, but also that packaging is designed very well. It's like a nice packaging.
Oh, it's awesome.
Right.
Yeah.
You're not likening it to that, and tease. It's
no,
like,
no, not at all.
Right. And if any of our listeners want to order, like ordering like a sample pack is a great way, I think, to get going, because there are like a variety of things to try here. And if you want to do that, you can use our code. We have a code.
That's right.
Special code.
We finally have a code.
You put in PunkTree15, PunkTree15, and you get 15% off your order. At TS the T. All right, so we're going to get back to a conversation that we started on our last episode.
Going to shows.
Yep, going back to shows, live music. We've been to a bunch of them. We have more that just happened and more that are happening. And I think Jesse and I are going to two shows in the next, like, 4 days.
Yeah,
Aaron's going to a show with us in a couple days.
What's the second show you're going to?
Manchester Orchestra.
That's this weekend?
Yes, Sunday. Monday?
Yeah, Sunday.
Yeah.
So, yeah, a lot of shows.
Same venue for the next two.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. Very good venue. So, we on our last episode, we talked about going to see Bazan. We talked about going to see Thrice, Touche, Amore.
And Aaron went to go see...
Oh, and Aaron.
Somebody.
Guess,
I don't know.
Guess
who
Aaron saw before?
Death by Stereo.
That's right. Love you, Dan. All right. So, but we have been to some other shows since. So let's just kind of go chronologically. Let's keep moving. All right. Even though I know a lot of stuff happened. Aaron, you went to some shows we couldn't make it to.
Yeah. And we're talking chronologically. I think this was, we're going a different, like, reverse sort of, like, spiraling chronology.
That works. Just, yeah.
Yeah. My wife and I went and saw Rise Against and the Descendants at some venue in Orange County. I don't remember what it was
called. Chain Reaction.
No.
It wasn't the Glass
I don't
House.
Think Rise Against fits in Chain Reaction.
Well, okay.
No, it was some outdoor, like they just put...
It's hard for me to think of Rise Against as being like the main attraction.
Oh,
there,
did they just
they
set,
are,
did they just set something up outside it. Completely different
That's,
from an was, actual venue?
Is that some fairgrounds or something? I don't remember. But yeah, it was giant outdoor stage with chairs and a pit that cost way too much to get into, which is ridiculous.
Wait, you had to pay to get into a mosh pit?
No, it's like... There's general admission, or like you pay for rows, like that's how big Rise Against is now.
Yeah.
And then to get tickets for the pit, I think they were like $120 or something like that.
That is the least punk rock with air quotes around it thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
And for me, it wasn't so much Rise Against that I was very interested in. It was The Descendants, because I like The Descendants. I like Rise Against too, but I don't get that excited to see them anymore. Maybe I shouldn't be saying this on our podcast.
Yeah, that's not nice to Rise Against. No, we like them.
Yeah.
I like Rise Against.
But I agree. Maybe I'm just old and or dumb. Like, to me, there's a clear, like, Descendants would be the headliner of the show.
Like, and it's more like lyrically, musically, I love Rise Against. But
good enough.
Descendants, I mean, they're a classic. They've been making great music since, what, 79? It's like, 81?
Yeah, the early
1800s. Can't even remember century. Exactly.
Right.
And they're still kicking a bunch of ass. Milo looks exactly the same, except
it's weird.
A little bit grayer hair. Yeah, he still wears the same glasses with the straps.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
How was the show?
It was great. Yeah, there was this weird, annoying, drunk/high guy next to me. And so I ruined all his videos by waving a water bottle in front of his camera as he was trying to shoot the bands playing. That was really good.
Have you looked on YouTube to see if there are any videos of that show?
With your water bottle
with
in
your
it?
Water bottle in
yeah.
them.
I haven't. I'm not that petty.
Well, cool.
Well, what would you do if you did find it?
Comment.
Comment. Like, that was me. That's my water bottle. Proud.
That's what you get, bro. Very cool. All right. After that show, are you ready to move on?
Yeah. I think the next one's probably going to be one we all went to.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? I wanted to ask you about that last show. What was the single most like memorable song from any of the bands? Like, if you could just pick one.
Oh, I'm jealous here.
Most memorable was Enjoy.
Smell, my love, Enjoy.
Like that one. And mostly, not because it's a great song, but I never thought that they would play that live.
That's weird for them to play it now. Because now like, they're kind of more heartfelt and, you know, legacy, family.
Yeah, they haven't made a lot of, like, fart joke songs in the past
a little while,
two decades.
Yeah.
And, yeah, seeing, how old's Milo now? 60?
That old's not there. That old.
No? 50? Yeah. We'll say 50.
Could even be
see a 50-year-old man singing, sniff my ass while I pass gas. Enjoy, my good friends. Enjoy. it's a novel thing. It really is. Check it out. I wasn't very loud. Check it out. It's for the Gucci's and get some apricots. Why don't you take a whiff from my sniffing gym? That one punch a punch. Take a whip, bust it and chip. Here, wait, turn down the stereo, I got a good one, here. No, wait, listen to this one, listen.
Yeah. Okay, you guys, roll down your windows.
No way, dude.
Don't just cut smell fart. Roll down
your windows. All right. Good one. Well, the next one chronologically was one all three of us went to. And it was great. It was rad.
Yeah, it was honestly the first like punk rock show I had been to in a while. Like a long time. Even maybe a year or more before the pandemic. So it had been a while since being something like this. And so we saw in order, we saw
Deviants.
Nope.
Deviants?
No, we saw Urethane was first. Okay, and so Urethane, it was great. I've been wanting to see him for a while. Like most known in that band, their guitar player is Steve Caballero, famous for the Caballero, the half cab, half cab shoes from bands,
skateboarding,
local San Diego County, all around nice guy.
Oh yeah,
yeah, and they were tight.
Oh, yeah.
They were having a blast.
Yeah.
It's basically a bunch of guys who put together a band because they want to be in a band, it seems like.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had a lot of local friends and family and stuff there. And so it was like an opening band, but Steve is relatively famous And so the band has more attention than most opening bands might have. Yeah.
Right.
And they're local. And so there was a big crowd there. And so the first band was not like a bear pit, bear stage kind of thing. It was full. So it was fun. The Deviants came up.
Deviants. And I was incredibly excited for that one.
I know.
How'd you know?
They're your kind of band.
They are my kind of band.
And you probably grew up like all into it.
Oh, yeah. I love the Deviants. And then they stopped playing. They made 3 albums and then just stopped for 20 years.
Probably to like do family and other jobs or maybe things like that.
Yeah, I've heard some interviews with Brian Barber, I think is how you say his name, the vocalist. And yeah, there's just some professional things. I don't think there was any big turmoil or anything that caused their stopping playing. They just kind of became adults, it sounds like, which was weird because they were like poised to become like the next Pennywise. Like that's what kind of people were.
Who's that?
Pennywise.
Okay.
They were a band that was very famous in the punk rock world, and actually outside the punk rock world, in like the 90s, early 2000s.
Okay.
They played that song, Bro Him.
Yeah.
You've probably heard that
one. Yeah, we know it. Yeah. Thank you for all of this. All right, so Deviants. How'd you like the show?
Oh, it was so good. So good.
I will admit, I didn't know a single Deviant song. I remember the band for back in the day, as we say sometimes.
Yeah.
And it was always like on the sort of Death by Stereo side of the world.
Yeah.
A little bit, right? You know, there were bands that were kind of very adjacent to that world, like Voodoo, Glow Skulls, and others that were kind of local to East LA, Orange County, kind of thing. But it wasn't my world, and so I knew them. I think I even saw them at some point, but wasn't my thing. I really enjoyed the show, like I really enjoyed it, and the production was like perfect quality for like a large venue because there were some big bands that were playing, some well-known bands. It was Soma San Diego, but they had packed it out. Mm-hmm. They were selling beer, which expands the floor even bigger, and so you know it was the biggest show I've seen at Soma in a very long time.
Like me too. Just,
yeah, it was a big show, and it was really done like for those of you not from around here in San Diego, Soma is kind of like one of the most old school punk alternative kind of venues in town. It's old movie theaters. That are converted, and it's kind of a dank rock and roll venue. Like it's not fancy. Bathrooms are covered in piss, and you know it's kind of nasty. And sometimes it doesn't sound great there. This show really was well done. It was really well produced for the kind of venue it was and the size, number of people there.
Yeah, and I feel like the bands really showed up. I mean, especially the Deviants felt like. You kind of felt that 20 years of pent up, just wanting to play, maybe a little bit of aggression in there, that really came out in that show. And they did. We haven't talked about this. Well, I think we've talked about it on the podcast before, but they released Holding Out earlier this year. No, late last year, shortly before that tour with... who'd they tour with? Pennywise. Yeah. But yeah, it's very interesting because they, at this point, they're not playing to put food on the table. They're playing because they want to play and they got something to say.
That's cool.
And, you know, I haven't seen them since 2003 at the Warped Tour. But you kind of sense more of like they're just enjoying what they're doing, and they put on like just a fantastic show.
Great. I know you're trying, and I hear the feel is twice as nice when you're dying, but I get too much to see you waste away. This time I know you're gonna be okay. I get too much to see you waste away. This time I know you're gonna be okay.
Jesse, any takes on Deviants? Or do you want to talk about the next band?
I did not have anything extra to add on Deviates, so...
I mean, go for it. Go for the main attraction.
Yeah. It's definitely who we were there to see the most, even though Deviates and your thing were totally fun and a big part of it for us. But Strung Out. We got to see Strung Out.
Yes.
At Soma.
Was that your first time seeing Strung Out?
Mm-hmm.
Ever?
Mm-hmm.
Wow,
man.
What was your take then?
Oh no, I'm too critical of a person to sound. Yeah. Okay. I really enjoyed it very, very much. You know what? I'll talk about all the things that I loved.
Okay.
Their overall sound was massive. The guitars were cranked and I could hear them. We were also in a really optimal spot for the mix. We were not far from the mixing board. And so just the quality was fantastic. The drums and the way they had the subs set up in this venue, they would hit 808 occasionally, and it would just move through the room like a wave. You could feel it. It was pretty cool. Which actually, there's probably more stories about that to come, because some bands we saw at the same venue later may have overused it.
Yeah.
Okay, that's not the point, though, but... The thing that I just couldn't get past was Jason just didn't sound right to me. It sounded like he was straining, like, too much. I don't know if he was okay. I don't know if he was not feeling well. It didn't ruin it for me. Like I said, I was worried it was going to sound too critical, because overall it sounded great, but just to me, Jason sounded like he was just straining, like, struggling.
I think he sings like that a little bit more than you would think of from the records. Like, the records are... sung and polished? And they care a lot about being tight. I mean, you know, this is like metal to punk.
Yeah.
So it's very, very written and very, very produced to be like that. Whereas when they're playing live, like, I mean, Jake was like flying all over the stage, like showmanship style. He's really that good.
Yeah.
Like, he's, if you like hear the parts on records and you're like, dang, Rob, Jake, what the heck?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you're live, they do exactly those parts.
Yeah.
While and they execute them perfectly while
running around and enjoying themselves and inviting us to enjoy ourselves with them.
It is a great show. And I think that is maybe what I feel in terms of like the vocal performance being like a performance, not necessarily trying to sing parts like you heard them on the record.
Which is why I didn't want to sound like...
No, I think it's fine.
I loved it, though.
How about you?
Yeah.
Aaron?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Were there songs that stood out from the set?
Oh, Misanthropic Principle.
Yeah.
Which I'd wanted to hear that live for like a long time, and they finally played it.
I know that I'm more into their newer stuff. Like, I really only know their most recent two or three records, and so those are the songs I know the best. And so when I hear them live, they stand out to me. So like when they played Rebellion of the Snakes, like it just I was like, one that I know really well.
Yeah.
Because I've probably listened to it 50 times in the last year and a half or 2 years.
Yeah, they played a really good mix of stuff across their discography. I think the only album they didn't play anything from was The Element of Sonic Defiance. But there were two that stuck out to me, which was Daggers, which is like one of my favorite songs, probably my favorite song from Songs of Armor and Devotion. And then Misanthropic Principle, which is a song that I really, really love.
Yeah, I also really loved Daggers. So, Jesse, I agree. I have been listening to Strung Out since I was in high school.
Right.
And their last two albums are my favorite two albums. Well, which is not something I feel really often, right? Because I do get the nostalgia of, like, but I really love blah, blah, blah from the 90s or early 2000s or something. And I just don't feel that way. When they play Rats on the Walls, you're like, I know exactly what's coming. It's also that, like, kick, like first song off a record vibe to that song, which is like, here we go, everybody get ready, ready to drop into. It's almost like a hip-hop song where you're like building and then the beat drops.
Yeah,
it's catchy too. That'll get stuck in your head.
And Strung Out earlier I mentioned I've been listening to Knuckle Puck.
Oh yeah.
Nothing wrong with Knuckle Puck, right? But the space between Knuckle Puck and a Strung Out with being catchy and entertaining and jump aroundy is... The first, what they're singing about, like worlds apart lyrically. Second, take all those Knuckle Puck pieces and then add pure chops. Like, I'm going to shred this or I'm going to do something like... And I would say, like, drum-wise, there's some, like, level there, right? Like, they're pretty amazing drum parts on Knuckle Puck records. But guitar-wise, sorry, guys. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah, I mentioned like how I thought you'd appreciate Knuckle Puck's guitars, not in the same
tone wise,
not in the same way as Strung Out,
but just like skill wise, it's crazy,
right? Yeah, I get that. Oh, and after Strung Out, Pennywise played.
Cool.
Take me back to the days before the fire scorched the hillside. Before every simple moment, content was a thrill ride. When the sun would kiss the sweet grass, endless fields, I wasn't able to count the moments left until I'm surely to die.
Well, folks, thanks for listening. We'll pick up this conversation around concerts we've been going to soon. Hopefully sooner than later. We know we haven't been putting out episodes as consistent as we'd like to. We'll try to get back on a schedule. But we'll... put something out soon because we've been going to many, many concerts and we love to discuss it and put it out for you guys to listen to. Thanks for listening. Take care.
Here in a daze, I'm a rabbit in the snare.
Misread antagonist. Is this the end of a catalyst? Twisting the plot. Never thought I'd end up so average. To be the one that gets caught. Cold stranded analyst. Take apart my younger years. Splintered limbs that ache from always running. No one ever said thank you.
No one ever said I need you. No one ever shared my confidence and faith like we do. But when this hillside began to burn, it all changed. We had a family to see too. Take my mind, take my life. I'd trade it all for another memory to cling to. And another morning fresh with spring dew. It gathers on my eyelids while I'm dreaming of you. Cause when you came along, I was quite unprepared. Any time, could I run? Could I move if I did? Now in a daze, I'm a rabbit in the snare. Thank you.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune into Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.